Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're listening on a local Minnesota station, across the country on our national broadcast, or on your favorite podcast platform, we are glad that you're with us today. This week on Minnesota Military Radio, we sit down with Minnesota State University Moorhead to discuss education opportunities for veterans, service members, and military family members. We'll also learn how federal ammunition supports the military community. Joining us for the first half of the show from Minnesota State University Moorhead are Aaron Krenz and Josh Clark. Aaron is a retired lieutenant colonel with more than 33 years of service in the Minnesota National Guard. He currently serves as the Yellow Ribbon Advanced Director, where he supports military-connected students as they transition into civilian careers. In that role, Aaron helps secure job placements, connects students with on-campus career services, educates employers on the value of military-affiliated talent, and coordinates job shadowing, paid partnerships, practicums, and student teaching opportunities. Josh is a retired Chief Master Sergeant with more than 29 years of service in the North Dakota National Guard. He currently serves as the Veterans Outreach Director, where he leads the Veterans Success Program. Josh focuses on removing barriers, strengthening connections, and supporting more than 330 military-connected students attending Minnesota State University Moorhead. That's a mouthful, but Aaron and Josh, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Glad to be here.
Well, it's good to see you again. You know, one of the great things about doing this show is I get the opportunity to see many people that I've served with. So great to see you and this time out of uniform. So welcome to the show. And I'm glad things are going well, and I'm glad retirement is treating you well. So how about if we start with that? I'll go to you first, Aaron, and maybe you can give a little bit of a history. I already talked about you retired as lieutenant colonel, but talk to us about your military career and then ultimately what led you to Minnesota State University Moorhead.
Yeah, you know, I had a fantastic career in the Minnesota National Guard as an artilleryman, as an officer.
I'm sorry, what was that? I couldn't hear you. What now?
Yeah, through the ringing in my ears as well. Yeah, as an artillery officer, had a great career doing that. And then also some other assignments up at Camp Ripley. And then ended up my career as the counter-drug director with the Minnesota National Guard. So had a tremendous career, but more importantly, had built some great relationships in the Guard that I, you know, are going to be with me forever,
yeah.
You know, and you're one of them. And, you know, I just want to just thank you for your friendship over the years. And then just with all the Minnesota National Guardsmen and women that I've had and built those relationships with. Those are the things that I'll take with me forever. You know,
it's always the people.
It is.
That you,
it truly
you miss
is.
The most. Yeah,
definitely. Yep. But one of those assignments that I had during my career was as Beyond the Yellow Ribbon coordinator, director, in helping our young men and women, soldiers and airmen, come home after deployment, and was one of those assignments that was unique and not non-typical of a military assignment, in helping them transition back home after deployment, but also helping them find, you know, become career ready. You know, some of them were transitioning back to school. Mm-hmm. Some of them were transitioning back to their families and back into different military jobs. And so at the time, it was something new that we were trying for the first time. And we all knew how important it was. But really, in this part of my life, it was something that I took that experience and transitioned it to my next chapter after my military career. And it has really helped me be successful in this new role.
Yeah, and you know, you were telling me a little bit before the show as we were, you know, just talking through, and it pays to go to basketball games because you never know where you might meet the person that's going to hire you for your next job.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. After I retired, you know, I took some time off and just reoriented myself on what I wanted to do. I didn't want to just jump into anything.
Yeah.
But I went back to my alma mater, Minnesota State University Moorhead, and I was attending a basketball game. And there was a pretty energetic man standing next to the court, and it just so happened to be the new president of the university. And I started sharing who I was and what I was doing. I didn't actually know who he was at the time. And he was like, wow, you know, we've got this opportunity here. We're trying to be the most veteran-friendly university in the state of Minnesota. And let me connect you with Josh Clark, my counterpart here today.
Yeah.
You know, the story goes that there was, you know, in this opportunity to connect veterans with career-ready opportunities. So,
well, I mean, definitely your opportunities inside the Guard saying yes to the assignment, which, you know, and normally you don't get much of an option. It's, oh, right. Yes, sir, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But definitely so really set you up for this next chapter. We'll talk a little bit more about your role, and I want to make sure we give Josh an opportunity. You served, obviously, as well, as I said in the intro. Tell us a little bit about your military service and what brought you to Minnesota State University, Morehead.
Yeah, so I started my career in the North Dakota Army National Guard in Air Defense Artillery, so kind of a sister to field artillery. But I only did that for about 3 years and transferred to the Air National Guard looking for full-time employment. There wasn't much on the Army Guard side, so transitioned there, which made my dad happy. He was a career Air Force and Air National Guard, so he wasn't real happy when I joined the Army first. But I'm glad I did that first, but I did wise up and transfer to the Air Force. But I spent my entire Air National Guard career in security forces, served in Afghanistan, ended my career as a senior enlisted leader for the 119th Security Forces Squadron. And when I retired in 2023, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And when the Veterans Outreach Director position opened at Minnesota State University Morehead, I felt called to it. You know, you spend years working with college students because so many service members join for college benefits. And so advising them everything from my role as a training NCO all the way into my senior enlisted leader position, I felt like a natural transition, and now I get to continue working with veterans and military family members. So it's a fun job.
Yeah. Well, before I forget to say it to both of you, thank you for your service. We do appreciate it. It does not come without sacrifice, and so we recognize that and always try to thank our service members when we have the opportunity. We'll run out of time, and I want to make sure we get to talk a little bit about this program and let you really, you know, plug what Minnesota State University Morehead or MSU Morehead is doing for the veteran community, for, you know, those students that you have on the campus. And you, in your positions, you kind of have this unique thing where you both were serving, you transitioned out, and so you've experienced what some of maybe our students could be experiencing as well. And so let's talk a little bit about what the transition was like for you and maybe some of those things that you wish you would have known as you're transitioning out or maybe even getting ready to go to college that, you know, you didn't know then, but you certainly wish you would have known. I'll start with you, Aaron.
Well, certainly transitioning, you know, as an officer, I thought I had a lot of good skills that were applicable to the civilian sector. But what I lacked was the ability to convey those skills onto my resume. I started building my resume, but I was like, man, I just do not know how to convert the language into what the civilian sector was looking for. So I spoke with a lot of business leaders and networked and gave them copies of my resume and just got a lot of feedback from them. And then also as an officer or senior leader in the organization, we don't always get a lot of opportunity to interview for jobs. As you had mentioned before, you usually are plucked and told where to go.
Yeah.
So I think that in some respects that does us a disservice to us to be able to compete and interview, because it's a lot of times it's not a how do we talk about ourselves and what we did to contribute to the success of something when we're just told, hey, good job, you're going to do this next.
Yeah.
So that sharpening that interview, the interview technique skills was something that I knew that I had to hone in on. So I did a few mock interviews and did some actual interviews with some companies, fully knowing that I probably didn't have a chance at it, just to practice and rehearse that process of talking about the things that I had done and what it resulted in.
We've had the Eagle Group Veterans Minnesota on this program many times, and that's the one thing that they constantly talk about is, you know, that translating military experience to civilians. And you know what? Being a field artillery officer sounds really cool to someone who knows what that means, but in the real world, most people don't, nor do they really care. So what about you, Josh? What kind of tips or tricks do you have that maybe you wish you would have known about? We've got about less than a minute.
Yeah, sure. So biggest thing, like Aaron said, is it's not just that translation. It's what I would call demilitarizing your resume. So instead of talking about commanders and units, you're talking about managers and organizations and things like that. The other big thing, I guess, for Guard and Reserve members, we already both, even as an AGR technician, you already have one foot in the civilian world and one foot in the military. So it is a little easier doing that transition than that active duty service member, and certainly an active duty retiree that's been doing that for a long time. But I would say that's the hardest thing is the skills and the resume, but then also demilitarizing how you speak.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. I want to talk about how you're supporting our students up at MSU Moorhead. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me is Aaron Krenz and Josh Clark, both from the Minnesota State University Moorhead. And, you know, you guys talked a little bit about your transition and some of the things that, you know, maybe you struggled with. I want to make sure we talk about what our military connected students are maybe struggling with through your experience. So, Josh, I'll let you kind of kick that off. And, you know, you've been there a little longer. So what have you seen as some of those challenges?
Sure. So for our Guard and Reserve students, they're typically those 18 and 19 year olds. So after they finish basic training, tech school, AIT, they're coming into college just like their peers are, and they deal with the same things that those students do, other than that dual purpose service piece. But our veterans coming off of active duty, they're dealing with being older than the average student. So the same issues that any adult learner has with that age gap. Not being able to connect with younger students because they've gone and done some adulting and some living, and now dealing with the angst of 18-year-old drama is something that's difficult. And because so many of them are balancing usually family, work, and school, now you get an isolated feeling because it's more difficult to make friends, do those typical things that a college student is encouraged to do on campus with clubs and things like that. You just don't have time.
Yeah. And, you know, you're talking about a bunch of barriers and things that, you know, you're trying to combat. And Aaron, I'm just wondering, you know, in your role or, you know, how do you support Josh and his team to remove some of those barriers and make this transition just a little bit better so that they can be in a conducive environment for learning?
Yeah, exactly. Part of the Yellow Ribbon Advance program is the mission is to reduce those barriers. And a lot of times some of our military connected students, you know, in order to do like their practicums or student teaching, those things are in the past have been done free. You know, they're expected to do those additional hours, donated time within their classroom. And so in order to do those, they've had to take on second jobs to make ends meet and then also spend time with their family. Part of our program provides money to be able to pay for those practicum hours so that they don't have to take on second jobs, so that they can spend those additional time with their families. Because we all know the military takes a lot of time away from your family.
It's not
already
One weekend a month, 2 weeks a year anymore.
It sure isn't. Yeah. It sure isn't.
So, you know, as a part of that, right, you go through this program, obviously they're getting a great education. But at the end of that, we're hoping we can do some job placement too. How do you help, like, talk to employers in that area? Or how do you promote your military-connected students to the employers so they know that they're making a good decision when they hire someone who has that military service or experience?
Yeah, so a couple of different ways. We've partnered with the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo Chamber of Commerce to, number one, train them. And there's thousands of companies in that area that are seeking employees. And so we've done webinars with their partner companies on what military connected students bring to their companies and what they should know about veteran students, because there's still some stigma out there about what veterans may or may not bring to the company. But we break down that stigma and say, hey, look, there's so much powerful things that a veteran student an employee brings to your company in the positive. And then when we bring and partner them with a military-connected student, they are amazed at the things, number one, organized, they show up on time, they're super respectful. And a lot of times our interns, practicums, they're getting a job offer before their internship is even over because they're just fully impressed with the work level that they're exhibiting.
And so, obviously it's easy to say all these things, right? The student still has to demonstrate this skill set.
But they sure do.
In those early conversations with the employers or prospective employees, the companies, what is one of those traits that you always tout as, hey, look, this is one of the most common things that you will get from a military member that comes to work for you and your company?
Well, they've all had to work under pressure. They've all had to make decisions under pressure. And so whether it be through boot camp or having somebody exhibit any type of mental pressure under them and have them make decisions, and they've all had to work through change.
Yeah.
How many organizations have gone through either an IT or systems change or leadership changes? All of our military-connected students have had to work through some type of change.
And if they made it through basic training, we also know they know how to follow directions.
Yeah, and that's not only the service member or veteran. That's our military-connected families.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Our spouses. That's our dependents. With their military, their family member deploying and having to do everything at home, they know how to thrive and survive through change.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've got like 4 minutes or so, and Josh, I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to talk about some of the other programs and other things that MSU Moorhead offers for the military-connected people, because we know that there has to be a connection too. So maybe you can talk about that stuff.
So two of my favorite would be, one, our Dragon Student Veterans Club, which is also a Student Veterans of America chapter. So it has a national affiliation and opportunities that come with that. But the whole idea of having that club is to have a connected community of military-connected students, connecting people with like experiences. Nobody knows what you're going through like somebody that's going through it or has gone through it, right?
Right.
So getting those veterans and military family members connected with each other. The other would be Dragon Valor, and Valor is an acronym. So it's a veteran ally organization. That is our military cultural competency training. The initial intent was to simply train faculty and staff on the unique nature of military. It's based on the basis of it is from PsychArmor's 15 Things Veterans Want You to Know, which is an outstanding platform and training thing. PsychArmor's free, so if you want to go look it up, it's great training. It's only a 15-minute video, but we tend to try and present that ourselves, give our own personal take on those 15 things, and then we talk about our students.
Yeah.
And we try to have our student veterans in there with us, or military-connected students, so faculty and staff can hear it directly from them instead of us doing it on their behalf.
Yeah, and when you hear things from some other people, especially those who have experienced it as well, it makes a little bit better. I'm just thinking through, how you get everybody connected. Obviously, they have a choice, but how do you know, like in your community, in the students, how do you know that they're a military or service-connected person unless they disclose it, or maybe because they're using an educational benefit? But, you said 330, or at least that's what I was tracking in the intro, 330. So how do you guys figure this out? How do you get people to come in and say, yep, you know what, I am a part of this community?
Sure. So there's the there's the two questions on the admissions forms. Have you served has your parent or spouse ever served? So that's how we generally identify the students. But then at our orientations and visitation days, give a little spiel up there, like, here's what we're here for. We're here to connect you with benefits and scholarships and things like that. So that usually gets people to come and talk to us, and we identify more students that way as well, especially those that have, say, a step-parent that served and they don't think of themselves as a military child.
Now, Aaron, I know you want to talk about a real quick success story. So we got like a minute and a half here, so maybe you can just kind of tell us why this program is so important and demonstrate it.
Yeah, we had a military-connected student was on active duty and then moved to the Army Reserve and was an operations management degree, did an internship at our Plains Art Museum up there, one of the biggest museums in the whole region up there. And during his interview, the chief curator handed him a list of all the tasks that he would be doing during his job. And as he was looking it over, I was having a conversation with the chief curator just to talk, you know, some of the other details. And in the period of that 3 minutes, she looked back at him and said, "Do you have any questions?" And she said, "No. Would you like me to brief you back on my priority of how I would do this?" And he's an engineer in the reserves, and he basically back briefed her on his priority list. So he used his engineer skills,
sure,
and basically from how he would stack the lumber and rearrange and tag all their display stuff that they've been racking and stacking for years, and they were just running out of space. And she was just flabbergasted.
Yeah.
She was just like speechless. She's like, "You did that in like 3 minutes that we were just sitting here?" And so, and he was like pretty skeptical of like his skill set. He was like, "I don't know what I'm going to really get out of this." Yeah. But, and he had no idea that this was where he was going to land. But he's currently working there full time. He's in charge of their safety program and everything. So just a tremendous story, and credit to him and his skills.
Well, we definitely want people to, you know, if they haven't disclosed or if they haven't gotten involved with any of those veterans programs or military connected type organizations up there, to go and do that. And, you know, unfortunately, we're out of time here, but I just want to say thanks so much for coming in, sharing a little bit about the great work that you all are doing up there. And, you know, once again, not only thanks for your service, but thanks for taking care of those who are service connected, not through disability, I mean, but because of their personal service or someone else's service, and they're seeking education at Minnesota State University Moorhead. So, Aaron, Josh, thanks so much. Hope you guys have a great rest of the day.
Thanks for having us, Doug.
All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. Before I introduce our next guest, I want to remind you that the VA Resource Fair, celebrating America's 250th anniversary of independence, is on July 1st. That's Wednesday, July 1st, 11 to 2, out at the Minneapolis VA. Again, a big VA resource fair. A bunch of different entities will be there, including the VA Health Team, Eligibility, the Veterans Benefits Administration, of course, the Fort Snelling National Cemetery Administration as well. So go check them out. All right, for the second half of this show, we're learning how Federal Ammunition continues to support the military community. Joining me in the studio are three guests with strong ties to both the military and the Federal Ammunition team. First, we welcome back a familiar voice to Minnesota Military Radio, Mr. Dennis Angel. He's a Marine Corps veteran and a retiree from Federal Ammunition. And then also joining us is Jared Cutney, an Army veteran and Vice President of Operations with the Kinetic Group. And finally, we're joined by Mark Hyland, and he's an Army veteran, and he's the Senior Operations Manager at Rimfire Components. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks for having us.
All right, Denny. I was warned by Tom to make sure that we only had Korans in the booth for you to use as a writing utensil, so you should have a full box of crayons somewhere around here, all red.
Not quite full anymore. I ate three of them already.
Well, Tom will be disappointed to hear that, or maybe he'll rejoice in that because nothing has changed. We only get you for two segments, and I know that Federal has been just a great supporter of the military community, obviously through donations, you know, money, monetary ways, of course, ammunition. We'll talk about all those things. But before we do that, just real quick, you know, Denny, Marine Corps service, talk to us real quick about that. And then what led you to Federal?
Well, to start with, you know, I got caught up in the last year of the draft. So my draft number was 9. So I thought, I knew I was going.
Yeah.
And so I decided to join the Marine Corps. Pretty certain it's because I watched too much Gomer Pyle as a young kid. But then after the Marine Corps, I spent 2 years in the Marine Corps. I was sent overseas to the Far East, but not into Vietnam, 5 different countries, which is fine. Got out of the Marine Corps, and I wasn't certain still what I wanted to do. Heck, I'm going to be 73. I still don't know what I want to do. But I did find Federal Ammunition, and I was so thrilled that the day I got hired there. And I got hired there in 78, and I retired 2016. Fabulous career, fabulous company, and I can't wait for your listeners to hear more about.
Yeah, and they still let you come around.
Oh, good. There's something wrong with those guys. I don't know. They better check their security team.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, thank you for your service and obviously your support to the military community and what you've been able to do and get federal to do to support. And we do appreciate that. We know you've been one of those key personnel in getting that done. Jared, how about you? Tell us a little bit about your military service and what brought you out to federal.
Yeah, you bet. I was I was in the National Guard. I joined the National Guard in 1998. I was in my first year of college and looked forward to serving in the military as well as completing my degree. I was actually looking for a job, trying to get an internship, and realized that Federal Cartridge was in Anoka, Minnesota after going to the Career Center at the University of Minnesota. So I got an internship in R&D at Federal. And during that time, I was still in the Guard. We were deployed to Operation Iraqi Freedom in the middle of the internship. And we actually, interesting story, we had M16s when we were over there. We didn't have M4s at the time.
That was early.
That was, yeah. So we actually emailed some of the folks at Federal. They took up a donation with some of the folks that knew me and one of my buddies that was there with me. And we got to convert our M16s to M4s. It's a little bit easier to get in and out of vehicles, of course, at the time. But anyway, so the opportunity I had to work at Federal started just as an internship, and it blossomed into much more than that, as I'm the vice president of operations now for the whole group.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you for your service as well. And Mark, what about you?
Yeah, so I joined the military in 1991, the Army National Guard. Was in basic training when Desert Storm started. So,
Desert Storm veteran.
That was pretty interesting.
We call that the Good War.
Right. I served about 5 years, got out, really didn't have a plan, much like Denny. I grew up in Coon Rapids, and I didn't even know Federal was in Anoka. They were hiring, went and got hired. Started on the floor like many of us that work there, and I've just worked my way up through leadership. So I've been there 31 years in September.
Wow,
so.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, obviously, people that work there, they want to stay there. They obviously take good care of you. And, some of the benefits aren't so bad either. Mm-hmm. So how about if we talk a little bit about that history, though, Denny? Because, you've been around, obviously, the longest out of the team here. Talk to us a little bit about Federal and, what their history looked like.
Oh, certainly. Federal actually was founded in 1922, so we're 104 years old. Excuse me. Yeah, that's right. 104 years old.
He's a Marine. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
I saw him taking his shoes off.
I did, but I forgot I was wearing socks, so I couldn't really count very good. But no, and by the way, we had a fabulous 100th anniversary in 2022. We had Lee Greenwood on the stage, and he opened for Ted Nugent. It was quite an event. So
oh my
it was wonderful.
Gosh.
But yes, Federal. Clearly, it makes ammunition. We provide ammunition to the military, the law enforcement. The trap shooters. The professional shooters, all of that. And so when I was getting closer to retirement, I've been retired 10 years, June 1st of this year, 10 years. And I thought—
You're working more now than you were then, aren't you?
Oh, God, absolutely. I mean, I if you're getting ready to retire, you better have a plan. And my plan was to get more involved with military charities about 2 years before I retired and get Federal more involved with military charities. And so I'm very proud of the fact that Federal— supports on an annual basis. Now, and they do other things besides me. Trust me, they do a lot more besides me. But they give me, and Jared authorizes it every year, they give me ammunition, they give me money, they give me swag, hats, jackets, all that for 24 to 27 different military events and fundraisers every year. I mean, it's incredible.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, and what's neat is you knew or you did have that plan, and mm-hmm. and you've been connected with military stuff for longer than that. I mean, mm-hmm. there's some other things we'll talk about here in a little bit. But, when you think about the different entities, the 27 that's just on your list, mm-hmm. like talk to us about what some of those entities are and maybe the support that you provide or Federal ultimately provides to them.
Well, let me start with one that caught my eye. Federal's, I'm very proud of the fact that Federal traditionally every year will try to have a barbecue for all their employees. And about 12 years ago, about 2 years before I retired, we're having one of those barbecues. And I look over and they always try to invite either a military charity or any kind of a charity mm-hmm. to be part of that. And I looked over at a table and there it said Twin Cities Honor Flight. And Jerry Kaiser, which Minnesota radio show knows very well. I look over there and I go, oh, I'm going to walk over there. So I go up and introduce myself.
Oh, that was your first mistake.
I know. We all know Jerry, right? Crazy Jerry. And he's wonderful. Yeah. I'm actually on the Twin Cities Honor Flight Committee as well. So I see him and talk to him a lot. Well, I go up to him and I say, so you're with the Honor Flight? And he said, yes, I am. And I said, well, I'm a little disappointed. Why? I said, I've logged on to your website to try to be a guardian about 2 years ago. I haven't heard a thing. He hands me a card and says, call me Monday. I was on the next Honor Flight, and
really?
I've been on it every year since.
Oh, wow, that's
and
awesome.
So it's been fabulous.
One of the things that comes to mind is the Minnesota National Guard's youth camp. And I know you remember this, but, you know, for a lot of years, I sent both of my kids to the camp. We were paying and we were buying ammunition, you know, and it's expensive. And Mark, you know, we were buying, and all of a sudden – someone at Federal says, wait a second, let us take care of you. Next thing I know, we've got more ammunition than we need. And so we've been able to stock, I don't say stockpile it, but carry over and not have to go buy it anymore. So that's awesome.
Yeah, right. And this one's kind of special to me because it's in my plant. So all that rimfire ammunition that you get for free, my plant builds that. So, I mean, this has been, what, a decade-long thing that's been going on. You know, it's 300-400 kids.
Yeah,
they're all, you know, family members or, you know, custodians of other, you know, guards members. So but it's pretty cool. They get them down and they get them down on the ground, give them some 22s, teach them how to shoot. And it was really fun and really cool to see.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a great event. And, you know, because of a donation like that, the fee for the camp is able to be relatively cheap as well. I mean, I think it's $150 or something for a full week overnight. You know, that's three meals a day, a bunch of activities. And, you know, think of the money that was being spent annually just buying ammunition. You know, and 22 rounds aren't all that expensive, but it's an expense.
And I also think it was the first accredited camp of any National Guard in the country.
You're right.
So
that's
really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, Camp Ripley actually allowed us to do something that I wasn't expecting. The day that Mark and I and one of our previous bosses took 15 cases up there to your camp on day one, they said, hey, come on over here and we're going to get you all geared up. And what did they let us do, Mark?
Yeah, so they loaded up a howitzer and we got to pull the cord on it.
It was
pretty cool.
Hope you had earring protection in there.
Pretty impressive amount of power.
Our last
right
guest,
there.
Aaron, would have been a little jealous. Well, he's probably done a million times. Hey, gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here. I want to come back and talk about some other partnerships, and I really want to talk about that Veterans Memorial. I want to hear about that a little bit. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me from Federal Ammunition is Dennis Angel, Jared Cutney, and Mark Hyland. Great supporters from the Federal Ammunition team in Anoka. Glad to have you guys in the studio carrying over to this segment. And, you know, we only get about 8.5 minutes with you here, and I know you got some great things coming up. And so, Jared, I do want to make sure we get an opportunity for you to talk about a couple of things that have to do with shooting, by all things. That's kind of crazy, right. Federal Ammunition. So talk about this Shoot for the Troops stuff or Shooting for the Troops events.
Yeah, there's two separate organizations or two separate events that we work together with, and one is Shoot for the Troops and the other is Shooting for the Troops. Both of them obviously benefit military families, specifically the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and Stand Down. Both of these are great events. We love to donate the ammo for them and make sure that everyone has a great time out there. We also do send some of our own shooters to those events and participate. It's a great way for us to get out there and obviously show the support that we have for our veterans and their families. And it's just a great opportunity for us to put our products into use, obviously. One thing that we're also doing coming up in the next year or so, we're planning our own event. So we're going to have a federal sponsored, and hosted, frankly, event that we are going to be donating the funds to a charity that Denny's going to talk to us a little bit about. But that's really near and dear to our heart, is to get out and use our products, donate our products, see our products in use, and look at the benefit of those products, not only from the enjoyment that the end user is getting, but also to benefit these great charities that we're a part of. So we're really happy to do that. Of course, we do other events, you know, like Denny mentioned earlier, golfing events and whatnot. But ever since we started to think about this a little bit more strictly as far as our products are related, we wanted to get to the point where we are using our products in the field and raise funds that way. So.
Yeah.
The Blaine Veterans Memorial is what Denny's going to talk about next, and that's what the event that we're going to have in the next 12 months or so is going to support.
All right. Well, Denny, let's hear all about it.
Oh, absolutely. The Veterans Memorial Park is probably about 6 years old. For any of you out there that have not seen it, I encourage you to go look at it. You can Google Blaine City Hall. It's right out their front door. There is probably about $600,000 worth of memorials there, and they are all stunning, all the way from the Civil War, all the way up to the War on Terror, the Gold Star family, fallen soldiers, POWs, Purple Heart. I mean, it is an absolutely stunning park. The gentleman who started all that, his name is Steve Guider. He is a Blaine High School hockey coach. And after having conversations with his uncle who served in Vietnam, who then passed away, it ignited a patriotic spark in this man like I've never seen. And he went to City Hall, proposed the plan, and they donated the land. And ever since then, he's been nonstop, and that park is stunning.
Well, you guys will have to make sure that when you get the details locked in, you let us know. Absolutely. So we can share it on the show. Yeah. And, you know, I love supporting entities that support us. And when I say us, I mean military members. And so I do buy federal ammunition, by the way. And this would be a great great event to be able to support as well when you guys put that together. Before we run out of time, though, Mark, you know, as a guy who, you know, you seem very passionate about the youth camp piece and being able to go and experience Camp Ripley and kind of see these kids, you know, getting to fire the ammunition that you all donate. What does it mean to you to be a part of an entity, an organization that really does put their money where their mouth is? You know, not only do you talk about supporting military organizations, military service members, families, but you guys are doing it. And how does it make you feel as a veteran yourself being in this organization that is, again, supporting that organization or that entity of people?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all take great pride working at Federal and supporting law enforcement, military especially, you know, and personally supporting military and working with Denny on whatever it would be, you know, a golf tournament or whatever. I think we all need to give back to our communities. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Being a veteran, that's what I'm passionate about. And, you know, as far as the business goes, it's good for business.
Yeah.
Right. Engaging the community. Where do they?
Why else
they
would we
help?
Have federal yes. ammunition on the program right now, yep. to be honest with you? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
There would be really no reason. But, you know, not only are you doing it, you're doing it for the right reasons, in my opinion. Not because you're trying to increase sales. You're doing it because you really do want to give back.
Absolutely.
It's the right thing to do. It's yep. in our DNA, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just – we realize that, and I think it being a good member of community supports the community, and therefore they give back as well. And it's just – it's a great symbiotic relationship.
Sure.
So
and that's why you can stay in business for, what was it, 104 years?
104 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's – you got to keep supporting your community. So let's talk about that again real quick, Mark, though, because not every company or organization out there – you know, is trying to support the community that they reside in, right? So what would you say to other businesses? Why do you think it's important for a business, for an organization to give back and support not only their community, but in this case, our military?
Well, one word is freedom. I mean, right? Back to World War II.
Hey, when you pulled that cord, right. That was the sound of freedom
right there. That was freedom, right? It's patriotism.
Yeah.
It's our Constitution. Us three, whatever. He's a Marine. He was in the Army. But we're all brothers because we swore the same oath, right? It's mm-hmm. it's supporting our Constitution and believing that is America, is our Constitution.
Yeah. And, Jared, you look like you wanted to add something to that. I mean, you know, at the position you're in as a VP, I mean, this is something. I
right.
mean, you're taking time away from production, to do things like this.
Right. And – you know, again, as I said earlier, it's just part of our DNA. It's the right thing to do. If you're a main company in an area, yes, you're employing a lot of people and you benefit from them. They benefit from you. But at the same time, there's those opportunities for us to show that we really do care about that and invest in the community. Obviously, we're talking specifically about military organizations right now and what we support there, but there's things that we do well beyond that as well, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's reaching out to the local schools with scholarships. It's looking to do sponsorships for, you know, some of the sports teams and whatnot. And it's just great to be a part of that. And frankly, you know, they benefit from it, but so do we, because it sort of brings us back to what are we really doing here, and we're part of a greater group that's you know, really benefiting from everybody being in the community and making sure that we're supportive. So
yeah.
I think it's important to make sure that we remind everybody of that and keep that part of what we do.
Yeah.
Doug, if I could add to that, please. Just a little bit, you know, I would venture to say that just about every company's got a veteran working there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And federal employees, about 950 production people, and of that, we've got about 250 veterans. And so
that's a good percentage.
It is. It's a very good percentage, yeah. And we're very proud of that. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you ever drive past Federal on Highway 10 there, we put up on our 100th anniversary, our president put up a 100-foot flagpole and all the military flags in front of it. And when it was time to commemorate that flag, every veteran at Federal was invited out there in the field. We unfurled that 30-by-50-foot flag.
Yep. Wow.
We had veterans on every flagpole, and at one time, everything went up. So
that's awesome.
It was amazing.
It was probably one of the coolest things that I've ever done while working at
really
Federal.
Cool.
We've got 30 seconds here, and Danny, I just want to give you the opportunity. Someone's listening right now. Maybe they want to get involved one way or another. What would you tell someone? How can they get involved with Federal? How can they support Federal for the things that you're doing?
Well, support Federal, go to your local store, and when you need ammo, buy Federal. But beyond that, in all honesty, go to your Facebook page. For example, Veterans Memorial Park. Go to Facebook, search Veterans Memorial Park. You'll learn all about it. Go there and search Twin Cities Honor Flight. You'll find that.
Yeah.
Go there and search Shoot for the Troops, Shooting for the Troops. You'll find out all that information.
Support those organizations.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, you guys have been great. Thank you so much for coming in. Dennis Angel, Jared Cutney, and Mark Hyland, I appreciate you guys so much. And good luck. Keep on doing what you're doing, supporting our military community. And thank you all for joining us. For supporting our mission, we always try to bring you meaningful and informative conversations. We always welcome your feedback and your guest suggestions. Please visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Click on Contact Us. You can also catch up on past episodes there or on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to tune in next week for a special recording from the Africa Command Area of Operations. I had the opportunity to travel with the Serving Our Troops organization as they served steaks to members of the Minnesota Air National Guard. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Have a productive week, and please take a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.